was talking to someone this past week, and they mentioned about this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, that's the love chapter or charity chapter. We were talking, and they mentioned about how this, indeed, the contents of this chapter are connected to the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, we've had a whole series of messages about what our Lord Jesus Christ said, or what our Lord Jesus Christ exhibited about what we're to add and what we're to manifest in our lives. And so I thought that we were done with that, but as I just couldn't get away from that this week about this chapter, and the Lord, it's been a blessing to me as I've considered it, and really have broken down, the Lord blessed, have broken down this chapter differently than I ever have before in study and consideration of it. And so what I'd like to do, and pray the Lord will help and bless, that we might preach a message out of this chapter, and the title of it would be Charity from Now Through Eternity. Charity from Now Through Eternity. And I think this will bear it out. The apostle, as he goes, and as our King James translation is broken up into chapters and verses, he leaves and closes chapter 12 with this verse, verse number 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And there is a reason that it is a more excellent way, and indeed it is a more excellent way. And pray that our Lord will help us and bless us together this morning with it. You remember, and we've reviewed it several times in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, in verse number 22 of Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There's no filling of these. Other aspects of the law were faced with different challenges and different maybe temptations or whatever. The command of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, the instruction that we have in operation of the churches and as His children, were faced at times with a temptation. And will we obey or will we disobey? And when we obey, we'll just take that track. When we obey, then we've dealt with it. We've obeyed our Lord. We don't have any grief or guilt from Him, and we have ongoing and continued peace as His children. And but these things, these fruit of the Spirit, they continue on, and there's just no getting to the end of them while we live this life. And this chapter is connected to them and does speak about them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, the Scripture says here, "Though I speak," and I want you to listen to the verbs. Pick out the verbs, okay? "Though I speak," there's a verb, "with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity." Now, this word charity is that of love, and there's three forms of this word used in the Scripture. This is the one that speaks about just an abundance of love manifested, and it's manifested by action being connected to it. It's as I like to say it, as I understand it, as I've been helped with it, it's love charity. This word charity is love with legs on it. Just not speech, just not talk, but love that drives one, convicts one to move and to do, okay? "Though I speak," and that's something that can be done, "with the tongues of men and of angels." Wow. And I think we're going to find a connection here with the other things that are mentioned. I mean, that's speaking in a great, great way, isn't it? The tongues of men, the languages, if you will, of men, to know a dozen languages. Wouldn't it be something to be proficient in a dozen languages? What an opportunity. What a blessing and a help that could be to the world in which we live by a person being fluent in a half a dozen languages. Or maybe just to be fluent in one language. That would be handy. Do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels? The tongues of angels, what is it? What is the language that angels use? If a man would have that and have not charity, love with legs on it, self-sacrificing love, I think that's another way to describe it. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. There's nothing that lasts. There's maybe a pretty noise that's made and some music that is made. But after it passes, that's it. And though I have the gift of prophecy, okay? So, able to take the Word of God and handle it very well. Or, as the direct meaning of this word is to know the future. To be able to tell the future, as many of our brethren were used by the Lord to prophesy in the Scriptures about things to come. As it tells us in the 15th chapter of this book about the Lord Jesus Christ dying according to the Scriptures, being buried and risen from the dead according to the Scriptures, being able to prophesy and have understanding of all mysteries. He'll take the Word of God and be able to put it together. You know, I speak about that interconnection of the Scripture. Being able to prophesy, to preach, to teach, to understand the Scripture and how it all interconnects. I've been pointing out about the Old Testament references that we run across in the New Testament, that if we don't understand what the Old Testament is talking about in those cases, we just won't be able to fully get the impact of what's being mentioned in the New Testament. And have all knowledge. Know a lot. Know all things. Not speaking about wisdom, but knowledge. Know a lot about a lot of things. And listen to this. And though I have all faith. Now, faith is one of those things that's mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is that thing to which Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 to add to. And here it says, all faith. Isn't that interesting? All faith. All faith so that I could remove mountains, like Jesus said. If I had a faith of a grain of a mustard seed, we'd say unto this mountain, be ye cast into the sea, and there it'd go. That's what Jesus said. And have not charity, have not love with legs on it, I am nothing. The first verse said, I'm just a noise, maybe a pretty noise, but after the noise is made, a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, that's it. There's no more to it. And in the second verse, it says, I am nothing. Have this great handling of the Word of God. Understanding of the application of the Scriptures, understanding the mysteries in the Scriptures, and having all knowledge about such, and the things of the world even, I dare say. Have all faith to be able to remove mountains, and have not charity. I am nothing, is what it says. Verse 3, and though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, I become destitute of everything that I own, every penny, to feed those that are in need. The ultimate almsgiver. As Corinth was called upon to give alms for the brethren in Judea, as Antioch collected, the church at Antioch collected the necessity of the saints in Jerusalem and Judea, as it's told in the Scriptures and some of what we're touching on in the book of Romans, but to give everything to where everything is gone. There's nothing in the corners of the house. Everything's gone. The house is gone. Give it all to feed the poor. And though I give myself to be martyred, my body even to be burned, to where I would stand for the things of the Lord, and I give myself to even the burning of the body is a terrible thing. Don't be cremated. God doesn't want you to be cremated. It's clear in the Scriptures. You want to know about that? I'll show you the passage in Genesis that deals directly with that. I give my body to be burned. The ultimate, if you will, in a matter of speaking, the ultimate martyr for the sake of Christ. I give myself to be killed and for my body to be destroyed by fire. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, are all these things good things? They are. We could say, and we could take a look at these different verbs, these different actions, these different things that could be done and pursued. And they are, in and of themselves, as we look on them, they are great things. They're great action. They're great pursuits. But if they're not done and pursued in charity, with charity, with love. Love where? We talk about faith, and faith in the Scriptures is always directed towards the Lord. How about charity? Where's charity directed? Well, we saw in all that we went through, so many messages about the fruit of the Spirit, our love is to the Lord. And because our love is to the Lord, our love is to our fellow man, our neighbor. I mean, didn't Jesus say that that was the fulfilling of all the law? Love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, he said, the law and the prophets hang on those, right? He says, if all these things are done, I'm like a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. If it's done without charity and pursued without charity, I am nothing, verse 2. And verse number 3, I am profited nothing by them. Well, we can really get into some fine lines there, can't we? And well, we need our motives stirred. We need our motives prodded on. And Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that's what the Word of God does, doesn't it? It gets in there and prods on our motive. And we need that. And the apostle writes to this church at Corinth, a church full of Gentile, full of Greeks. And he seeks to stir them up. And their spirituality is what it's all about. One of the chapters in these writings to the church at Corinth speaks about, am I spiritual? I think chapter 4, maybe, of this 1 Corinthians. And then we see the connect here in these next four verses to the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to this. Charity suffereth long. You hear that? Long suffering. Right? Remember that? And is kind. You hear that? Hear that in gentleness, goodness? Charity envieth not. Charity doesn't get jealous. You've got a new car. I don't need to be envious of that. I need to praise the Lord. The Lord blessed you with a new car. I may need you to take me for a ride in it somewhere. And what a blessing that is. See, when the children of God, when the Lord bestows upon the children of God, isn't it the desire and the directive of the Lord that the things that have been given us be used for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the kingdom? Amen. And so we can be helped. And we can help, right? Charity suffers long, fruit of the Spirit. Charity is kind. We find the fruit of the Spirit in there, don't we? Charity is not jealous, envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. I'm number one. I want to be number one. Charity doesn't do that. Fruit of the Spirit doesn't do that, does it? Fruit of the Spirit bears and brings forth that of meekness. You may be number one, but you don't have to make sure everybody knows you're number one. Right? That's what meekness is. You may be blessed. You and I might be blessed with a certain thing that we do very well, but we're not always wanting to. Isn't it terrible when the children of God are always reminding folks, or folks that claim to be the children of God are always reminding folks about what they've done? It's bad. Don't do that. Don't go that way. It's no good. Just do for the sake of the Lord. Love for Him and love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love for the sinner. Let the Lord reckon the rest of it. Amen? It's not puffed up. Don't we see the fruit of the Spirit wrapped up in that? In those words, puffed up? Charity is not puffed up. Goodness. temperance is, you know, all of it. And we looked about that of temperance, that temperance, self-control is involved in all the rest of the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, isn't nasty, isn't forward, as has been mentioned, doesn't want to go an evil way, a stirring way, a bad way. Charity seeketh not her own. The Scripture tells us that we as the children of God should prefer one another before ourselves. Isn't that something? Charity, love with legs on it, is not easily provoked. Talk about a quick temper. Charity doesn't have a quick temper. And in Ephesians, the apostle writes about, be angry and sin not. And then later in that chapter, he goes on to write, so we'll just go ahead and put away wrath and anger and clamor. Charity doesn't get angry. Doesn't mean that charity and the Lord, the things of the Lord aren't stood in and stood for. Charity doth not, or thinketh no evil, there in verse number 5. Isn't that something? Verse number 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love with legs on it, love for the Lord, love for the saints, love for the Word of God, love for the sinners, sinners without Christ, doesn't rejoice, doesn't have glee and happiness in sin and wickedness, but sees it for what it really is. Temperance is manifested there, isn't it? Goodness is manifested there. In verse number 6, but rejoices in the truth. The truth. Well, what was important to our Lord Jesus when he was here on this earth? Was it not the truth? He said, I came for the truth. I came to be a witness of the truth. Rejoiceth in the truth. Loves the truth to be proclaimed. Loves the truth to be told over. Charity beareth all things, verse number 7. There's long-suffering again in there. There's temperance. There's meekness. Believeth all things. Charity. It doesn't mean that charity's gullible. Charity indeed looks to hope, doesn't it? Charity knows that while there's life in the Lord, there's the possibility of salvation. Amen? While there's life, there's the possibility and hope of healing. While there's the Lord, the impossible thing can yet be done. That's where Jesus says that God shines, is when he deals with the impossible. What's impossible to us is possible with God. A sinner can be saved. Amen? Well, what's impossible with our Lord? Charity hopeth all things. Love. Love with legs on it. Love that is obedient to the Lord, looks to the Lord, and hopeth all things. You know what? Charity endures all things. There's long-suffering again. There's temperance. There's goodness. Isn't that something, how that's the case? We get to verse number 8. Charity never faileth. Brothers and sisters, do the fruit of the Spirit fail? Does the fruit of the Spirit ever fail? Does the work of the Spirit ever fail? Does the manifestation and the work of the Lord in His people, does God in that ever fail? He doesn't, does He? He doesn't. He doesn't. But listen to this. Listen to this. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I have the gift of prophecy, verse number 2, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. What do we speak from? Do we not speak from our knowledge? When we say something, isn't it that we speak from what we know? whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, languages, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Isn't that something? Those things, see, the Lord, in this passage, brings it home once again that God, and I look to make this emphasis in the jail when we preach there, God and the way of the Lord and the way of salvation and the way of the operation of God is not religion. It's not religion. Or it's not in practice the busyness of the body doing something good just by itself. Hear that? It's not religion. This is faith and following the Lord, salvation, and the work of the Lord in the church. Yes, there is labor to be done, but it's just not the labor. It's not religion. The things that we do and pursue now, listen to this, they are going to pass. Oh, we're to do so. Are we to stop prophesying to the extent that we do? We don't tell anything new. We just tell the Word of God over and over again. Amen? Are we to stop that? No, it's not talking about that. Are we not to study and to become knowledgeable, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord? Indeed, we are. And if we can learn a language to the service and worship of our Lord, we're to do so and use it for Him. But understand, these things are going to fail. They have their place. But there is something greater at hand that needs to be at hand so these things can be fruitful in the work of our Lord. See, though I speak with the tongues of men, though, verse number 2, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, verse number 8, where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Because listen, here's our state. We know in part, but not all the way. We prophesy in part, but not completely. Why? Because we're here. We've got the new man, the Spirit of God living within, and we've got this old man strapped on our back, and we're compassed about with infirmity, aren't we? And the wickedness and sin of this world. We've been less so to the honor and glory and praise of our Lord, and that we might be used to the furtherance of His kingdom and in His purpose and His plan. But we're not going to always be this way. But there is something now that we need to have that will continue on. Prophecies are going to fail. Tongues are going to cease. Knowledge is going to vanish away. For listen, our state is we know in part and we prophesy in part. How is it that we prophesy? By our voice. by that that comes from our lips. But listen, but when that, verse 10, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, for years, and I believe it can be appropriately so, used to the full canon of Scripture coming to us, indeed. But I think if we take and look at this passage in its direct context, it's talking about, again, the title of the message, Charity, from now through eternity. From now through eternity. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Prophecies done away. Tongues done away. Knowledge done away. Vanish away. Here's how it is. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Less mature, right? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Isn't that the way that it works? Well, you know what? In our spiritual life, it's the salvation that has been wrought in us by our Lord. That's the way it's to be working too. We're to be maturing from the time that we've been born in Christ on this earth and in this life. But you know what? One day, we're going to be perfect. One day, we're going to be completely mature in our Lord. One day, we will never be hindered in any whit ever again. Oh, yeah, we have things to be about, and we need to have things to pursue. But as the apostle said, I show you a more excellent way, right? That the things that you do, they desired gifts there at Corinth. And that's not bad. It's not bad to desire that by which you and I can serve our Lord well. We've all been given gifts. We've all been given talents. But we need to pursue them with this this that's being described to us here. Listen to, you remember the song? I meant to look it up. I didn't. I'm pressing on the upward way. We sing that song and maybe don't even think about it. New heights I'm gaining every day. I hope so. It's a rebuke to me. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. For faith has caught, I know I'm butchering the song. For faith has caught the joyful sound. The prayers of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. Listen, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. It's not a song about the child of God bragging. But don't you want to walk closer to your Lord? We're heading to be with Him ultimately, the greatest closeness that can ever be when we go to the other side. Sister Sarah may be very close to that. And you know what? We can pursue that while we're here. But listen, there needs to be something in the midst of it all. Charity. Love with legs on it. For now we see, verse number 12, we see through a glass darkly. We're looking through that window. We look through the Scripture and we can see some of it, can't we? We get a glimpse of it. Don't we talk about that in the Scripture that, wow, you know, the Lord really blessed me with that. And then it kind of, I learned something. I was reminded of something. And then it kind of slips away or I forget it. And then I'm renewed in it, you know, and we're encouraged again. That's the way it is with us. That we get it and it comes and goes. The things of the world come on us. Now we see, for now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Another song, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. That's the perfect that's coming. That, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. For now we see through a glass darkly, verse number 12. But then face to face, now I know in part. But then shall I know even as I am known. How does the Lord know us? In every whit. We were talking the other day, even the hairs of our heads are numbered. And can you consider, it's hard for us to do so, we believe it. Can we grasp it that we will know as we are known? Knowledge of our Lord will have arrived, wouldn't it? Won't it? See that? Knowledge of our Lord, no hindrance. No hindrance in every way to know the Scripture and the will of the Lord. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. Verse 13. And now, hear it, and now abideth faith, faith in our Lord. But what's going to happen with faith, brothers and sisters? Isn't faith going to give way to sight? See that? Faith, faith is great. And faith is essential. And we live and continue on by faith. We do. Till one day, faith will be given over to sight. Now abideth faith, hope. Hope. We look to be with our Savior and see Him face to face one day. It's a no-so hope that we have in Christ. Not a maybe it's going to happen and maybe it'll be good. No, it's going to be, isn't it? It's going to be because He's promised it. And then when we're there, will we have hope then? We'll be in the midst of that which we hope for. Amen? But now we hope for it. Now we have faith in our Lord that He'll bring it to pass. But now abideth faith, hope, charity. What about charity? Is charity going to be done? Brothers and sisters, charity is just going to continue on right on through eternity. Isn't that something? Charity is going to continue on. Our very presence with the Lord, His care for us, His keeping us, and Him fulfilling the promises that He has for us, and whatever He has for us on the other side through eternity, will be a manifestation of His love with legs on it for you and me. Isn't that something? These three. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. And that's why. Listen, charity. From now through eternity. From now through eternity. The manifestation of our love for our Lord, our love one for another, and our love for sinners that are without Christ, for our neighbor, is a manifestation of the eternity that awaits us and is before us. We have that and need to cultivate that here and now. And we need to know that indeed that is the more excellent way. Oh, we need to have faith. We do have hope. We need to prophesy. We need to learn a language and we might tell others. And we need to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. But we need to do it not out of drudgery. We need to do it not out of obligation directly, but we need to do it out of love for our Lord. Love. Charity. Love with legs on it. Quickly in Romans chapter 5, listen to this. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Let's just listen to the words. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's a way of saying it, isn't it? Another way of saying it. And not only so, verse 3, but we glory in tribulations also, which is out of character for the natural man, but the new man does, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience in the Lord, and experience, it works hope. Hear that? Listen, and hope maketh not ashamed. Our hope in the Lord, our looking to our Lord that He will do what He's promised He will do, it causes us not to blush or to back down from that promises, those promises. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love, if you will, the charity of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You hear that? Because the love, the charity of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That we read in Romans chapter 8, you don't have the Spirit of God within you, you're none of His. But if we do have the Spirit of God in us, we are His. And His love has been shed abroad in our hearts. The greatest of these is charity. To you that are here and not saved, I want to read here in 1 John chapter 4. I invite you to turn over here to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7, we'll pick it up here. If you're here and you're not saved, listen. No greater love. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back to Romans 5. I stopped too soon. Forgive me that. Hope, verse number 5 of Romans 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the charity of God, same word as over there in 1 Corinthians 13, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Listen, sinner, you that are here without Christ. Verse 6, Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his charity toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died to save sinners. He's been very charitable in that. He's shown his love in that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's right there, isn't it? And then to 1 John 4, if you will, there's these two forms of the word love, and this word charity speaks about a love feast, an abundance of love, love with legs on it, that's exhibited by the action of the one that loves, okay? In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7, and again, if you're here and you're not saved, listen. Beloved, let us love one another, for charity is of God. Okay, and I know I'm reading that different, but I want to make a distinction to that word charity that's used in 1 Corinthians 13. For love with legs on it is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is charity. In this was manifested the charity of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is charity, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Hear that? And his charity is perfected in us. Charity from now through eternity. No wonder that the apostle, when he writes in Galatians chapter 5, says and writes, the fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, charity. It's the first one that's listed. And I believe that's the reason it is first. Because if all things are done, no matter what it would be, the greatest works that would ever be, if they're not done with charity, love from the Lord, self-sacrificing love for the right purpose, the right way, the way God loves, then you know what? We can do a lot of things and yet be found empty and desolate. But you know what? The manifestation of charity in our lives is that telling and a manifestation that we are heading to eternity, where charity and love, that love of the Lord, is supreme and will be manifested in us by our Lord forever. Charity from now into eternity. May we consider that, and may we have that. May we have that in our lives now, that which is going to be forever.